The pace of job growth isn't making for any kind of robust recovery.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. A couple of new reports out today give a mixed picture on the nation's employment front. One survey says there have been fewer layoffs, but another report this morning says the U.S. isn't creating the number of new jobs needed to jumpstart the economy. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
First, the good news. A report from employment consultants Challenger Gray and Christmas says the number of planned layoffs at U.S. companies has fallen to the lowest level so far this year. CEO John Challenger is looking ahead to Labor Department numbers on unemployment due out Friday.
So you know if you're in a job, you're pretty safe. It's been tough if you've been unemployed to get back to work, but the picture does seem to be changing. This Friday's report will be very important to see if that strong job creation is sustained.
Now the bad news. A separate report out today from ADP Employer Services says the U.S. economy only created 179,000 jobs last month. Economists often use the ADP report to try to predict the Labor Department numbers. But ADP isn't always in sync with the government. Economists may be hoping for a disconnect this month because unless the government numbers are significantly higher, we won't see a big drop in unemployment. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And as if we didn't have enough news of slow growth, the Institute for Supply Management said the nation's services sector last month saw a slight rise, but it's growing at the slowest pace in 8 months. Markets, not very happy. Right now, we're off about 0.9% for the S&P and for the NASDAQ. The Dow down 111 points at 12,696. AOL said it lost some subscribers and a lot of advertising revenue. Its first quarter profit tanked. The first time I ever came to California, I got off the plane in L.A. and said, "This looks just like Greece. The dry air, the climate, the beaches, and the budget problems." But the debt comparison between California and Greece may be a bit overblown. That's according to a new report from Standard & Poor's. And Gabriel Pettick is with S&P. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are the comparisons between Greece and California fair?
We don't think so. We think that it's making some comparisons that are rather superficial. It starts with the fact that California currently produces enough revenue to retire its debt, and we don't see the same thing for Greece. Greece would really need to have pretty strong reversal and economic growth from its current performance.
So what are the similarities then between Greece and California?
Well, one of the big ones is that both Greece and California do not have their own currency, and they don't set their own monetary policy. So where some countries may choose to devalue their currency to help generate demand for their exports, both Greece and California don't have that option.
The fact, though, remains that both California and Greece are finding it hard to reach budget solutions. How much trouble does that spell for California?
Well, there's no doubt about it. Both are probably rightly described as operating in a budget crisis, frankly. We believe California can and most likely will get through it. It's more of an open question for Greece. They have some pretty serious problems they're facing that are more fundamental than what we see in California.
Gabriel Pettick with Standard & Poor's. Gabriel, thanks.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
This week, we could see average gas prices across the country top $4 a gallon. That's a dollar more than just 6 months ago. To most people, that's a big deal. But how much do those incremental increases really cost us? Marketplace's Jennifer Collins took a ride to find out.
If you're upset about gas prices in your part of the country, welcome to Los Angeles.
Okay, I just filled up my gas tank. It's $4.29 a gallon. My total comes to $44.25.
Ugh. John Gorville is a marketing professor at Harvard Business School.
You know, the idea of spending $40, $50, $60 at the pump seems outrageous.
But let's do the numbers. The average driver fills up about once a week. So every time the price of a gallon of gas goes up a dollar, it costs an extra $10 to $15 to fill the tank.
So I think the actual increase is less than people's response to that increase. And I think it's because with gas prices, it's right in your face.
He says the huge signs at the gas stations keep us thinking about gas all the time. Well, most of us anyway. Michelle St. Germain is a professor at Cal State Long Beach. She's been driving 300 to 400 miles a week for 16 years. She stopped looking at gas prices years ago.
I'm going to buy it anyway. I mean, I suppose if I drove up and it said $50 a gallon, you know, I might be really outraged. But, you know, it just goes up a little bit, and I just don't even notice it.
St. Germain's secretary, Kathy Allen, puts the price of gas in practical terms.
I guess it's, you know, two days of lunch.
But has she started brown bagging it?
No. Sorry.
Professor Soren Anderson at Michigan State University has an explanation for that.
If the reason the prices are getting high is because people are doing better and wanting to buy more oil,
in other words, the economy is improving,
then they might not feel like they're worse off.
But for people who aren't feeling the recovery, the increase can sting, and some do cut back on their driving, creating what may be one of the very few benefits of higher gas prices.
Right. It's a lot easier to find a parking space.
That's St. Germain as she pulls into a front row spot. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, with warmer weather comes more outdoor corporate camaraderie, like the company softball team. The Wall Street Journal's sports columnist Jason Gay has some do's and don'ts for those who take to the diamond. Keep your special expensive bat at home, he says. Is your ego that big? Maybe don't bunt? Yeah. And for goodness sakes, don't keep any statistics, really. Nobody cares. Except maybe the boss, who you let slide into home for that game-winning score. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Many would love to see organic farming become the way of the future, but for all the upsides if it happened, there could be downsides as well.
If you ask me point blank whether organic or organic-based farming is better than conventional, my answer is no.
I'm Tess Vigeland, Organic Farming and Global Food Demand, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.